everyone. Welcome to Fantasy Football Fanatics. My name's Andy, and I'm here with Ben in LA. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
And I'm here with Matt, who's in North Yorkshire this week. How are you, Matt?
I'm fine, thank you. Good, thank you.
Good, good. Welcome, everybody, to the pod. As always, we're going to start off with our football highlights of the week. Matt, why don't you get us started?
That's it. The part of me feeling really, really good is the early Christmas present that all Man United fans received midweek, which was the announcement on Monday that Mourinho has been fired. It was music to everyone's in ears. It's like, oh, yes, finally, finally. I mean, it might not solve the problems at United, but it at least makes me feel better that that man is no longer in charge of our team and sucking the joy out of all fixtures.
Did you see Paul Pogba's quote about Mourinho leaving?
I didn't know. Was it coded or was it very obvious?
Coded is not the word I'd use for it. He he was quoted as having said, "Goodbye, Mourinho. You fucked with the wrong baller." Which I enjoyed quite a lot.
Yeah, and I liked seeing him. He was leaving the Lowry, but he stayed in a hotel the entire time he was there. And he apparently racked up like a 500 grand bill at the Lowry, which he had to settle up.
I never knew that. I didn't even know that happened. That was news to me, but it's kind of shocking. He's been there 3 years and didn't even rent or buy a place and just stayed in the hotel.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think that says a lot, doesn't it, about his attitude towards managing Man United. Like, it's no wonder if he wasn't even thinking of being a permanent resident in Manchester, that he wasn't a permanent resident in Manchester.
I mean, it's not often been said, but, like, he's a very depressing character. I wouldn't be surprised if he is actually a little bit depressed. I mean, his life isn't, like, normal in the way that he's trying to live in a hotel and just constantly bad-mouthing people. It's not normal human being behaviour.
Don't make me feel sorry for him. Matt.
But then he got paid 26 million quid, so hopefully he can improve his mood somewhat.
Yeah, he can dry his eyes with some 50 pound notes.
Yeah, although he will constantly be annoyed because he's such a competitive man that he lost eventually to Paul Pogba, despite all his efforts.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was, is that the battle, what he needed to win turned out to be the battle with Pogba rather than football matches.
It appeared to be by the end.
Indeed, a highlight for all three of us, definitely. Ben, do you have anything non-Man United related to bring to the football highlights of the week?
I do. My real football highlight is Man United related, but my other highlight is the Man City Palace game. I think made a lot of Liverpool fans really happy. Palace beat Man City. Really entertaining game. And my highlight was Andros Townsend's goal, which put Palace ahead. If you guys haven't seen it yet, kind of Bernardo Silva tries to head the ball away from a free kick. It goes about 35 yards out, and Townsend, first time on the volley, just rifles it in the top-hand corner. It was an amazing goal. Maybe goal of the season so far, I think. And maybe a big turning point in the title race between City and Liverpool. It's kind of hard as a United fan because I kind of hate both teams. But I think I prefer the Liverpool team in terms of they have likable players and likable manager. So I'm quite glad City lost today.
See, I'm not actually. I was trying to explain this to a Liverpool supporting friend of mine. I said, imagine that not only are Liverpool managed by Roy Hodgson again, but also the best teams in the league are Man United and Everton. Imagine how that would feel. They're like, oh yeah, that's kind of bad, isn't it? And I find myself like, it's awful, but the way that I'm deciding who I want to win the league out of those two is that if City win the league, firstly, it's kind of there's already talk about their financial fair play and how that might tarnish it. But also the fact that Liverpool haven't won it in so long, I feel like it would be a greater achievement and the fans would be more insufferable.
Oh, they'd be unbearable. Right. Unbearable, yeah.
And so I feel like I'd rather have City win it again, which is a lesser achievement, than Liverpool get that really big leap and win the title. Which is a really negative way of thinking. And
yeah.
I don't know. Especially, like, I've never been it's been a long time where, as Man U fans, haven't really had to think about being the underdogs, right? And it's like, it's really uncomfortable.
What I want to happen is Liverpool look well on course to win the title, and then they get some sort of crunch game, maybe against United, and Jordan Henderson slips over whilst playing the pass, letting a player through on goal to sink their chances.
That would be amazing. I agree. Well, we're getting back into the realms of Man United again, which is obviously my football highlight of the week too. Watching the team play under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, really, he's my highlight of the week. When he was interviewed before the game, you can see he could barely contain his joy at being introduced as the Manchester United manager. It's obviously been a dream of his for a very long time. He was playing for Man United and he scored the winning goal in the European Cup final. Tick one, dream completed. And now he's come back to the club as the manager. He just looked on cloud nine, and for his team to come out and play for him in that way, there was a moment where Phil Jones did a back heel in the middle of the pitch and bamboozled two players. There was a moment where Pogba played a no-look pass and Graham Lasso commented that he thought he went the wrong way. Like, it was such an amazing performance that was so different from before. So I think my happiness for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the big grin on his face is my highlight of the week.
Nice, nice. Couldn't agree more.
Good. Well, let's get off real football, shall we, and back into the game. The highest score thus far this week is Matt. So why don't you talk us through your week?
Back in Fantasy World, I have no Man U players, and so technically no interest in the match that we've just watched, the 5-1 victory. and I'm winning on 38 points, but I've only actually had Robertson, Salah or Aubameyang do anything for me. But it's just been that sort of game week where if you have Salah or Aubameyang, then you're doing okay. If you don't, then so far, because Everton's still to play Spurs, then none of the other really big hitters have done much this week. So I mean, happy on aggregate because that's going pretty well. Slightly frustrated that yet again I've picked the wrong captain. I've dropped at least 100 points this season from picking the wrong captain. I've done some massive errors this season on captain picking. Although I don't know, I think everyone went with Man City players and no one expected this Crystal Palace result, so I can't be too hard on myself on that one. And then Kiko Firmino on the bench as well, get me a clean sheet out of nowhere. But again, who would have predicted that he'd got a clean sheet? So all in all, looking pretty good. And I've still got Son, Digne and Richarlison to play.
Good, good. Yeah, I think last week we had Burnley as our, not Burnley, Palace rather, as our whipping boys, didn't we? So we obviously didn't see that coming either, which I think, my team is next. So I have a very similar comment to Matt. I don't have Salah, but I do have Aubameyang. So I got 10 points from that. I have Kolasinac, who got one of the assists for his goals. And I have Dubravka in goal. So I end up on 33 thus far with Sigurdsson and Richarlison to play. So I'm hoping for a collapse from Tottenham tomorrow to bring me some points in. But it's one of those weeks, isn't it, where it's quite low scoring overall. So a score of 50-odd points is actually a really good score this week, I think. The big winner is a colleague who I'm in a close tussle with, who had Virgil van Dijk in the team, who got 15 points, and Salah as captain. So he's come out of day one Wow. with a crazy number of points, and he's overtaken me again. Bastard. Anyway, it's been a bad week in those terms, but I'm okay with 33 points right now. I haven't fallen behind massively. And I was worried about this week with Alexander-Arnold and Kolasinac both doubtful. So although Sterling and Sané obviously didn't do the business, it's turned out, I think, okay, because they also didn't do the business for anybody else. How about you, Ben?
I would kill for 33 points right now. So this was a good footballing week, but a really bad FPL week for me. Basically, none of my players have scored any points apart from the Robertson clean sheet. I think, like you guys said, if anyone who doesn't have Aubameyang or Salah has done badly this week, and that's pretty much my team. Because I had Captain Sterling, he did nothing. And then my big hitter, Hazard, didn't do anything. He did hit the post twice, which is frustrating. And then Alonso, right at the end, was put through one-on-one, and he hit the inside of the post. So that was kind of really annoying. I made my transfers this week. I made two. I brought in Felipe Anderson from Ryan Fraser, and I brought in Digne for Laporte. I think getting rid of Laporte was a smart move because City, again, conceding a lot of goals. Felipe Anderson was more for the long term. But now, I think we'll talk about it later, I'm really tempted by replacing him straight away with a Man U midfielder. So I think I'll have a big fat red arrow this week. But I do have Kane, Richarlison and Digne tomorrow. So hopefully someone does something tomorrow. And a shout out to Camarasa on my bench who scored a goal today.
Yeah, out of nowhere. As a Man U fan, I was very annoyed about that penalty, but I think probably other people feel differently. So with three of us on the pod, let's not debate that. Good. Well, Ben, I wish you the worst of luck tomorrow, apart from Richarlison, of course. good. All right. So let's get into a feature for this week, which is Matt's going to give us his watch list, which I think is going to be heavily influenced by the happenings of the last 90 minutes. Matt, why don't you take it away?
So I think any watch list feature right now has to focus on the emergence of Man U as potential assets to have suddenly out of nowhere. Because their fixtures for the next three is Huddersfield at home, Bournemouth at home, Newcastle away. Juicy chart ties for anyone, but we would have never picked him if Mourinho is in charge. They've just scored five goals. I'm definitely looking at, I was looking at Rashford because he could be the holy grail of like a mid-price striker that's worth having right now. And there seems to be so few of them. Martial, 7.3, has had a great season so far and just come good. Pogba, 7.8. It's sort of the priciest of the bunch, but also the most talented and maybe the one who gained the most from Mourinho being sacked. And the other one today who's got the most points is Lingard, 6.7. That could be a potential bargain if he hits. He hit Christmas form like this time last year. So if he's hits it again in a free scoring Man U side, that could be a really good pick to go for. So those are the main Man U ones I'm looking at. I'm not looking at the defence just yet because, they did concede goals to Man City, to Cardiff today. And I can't see any of them that are that talented. Shaw's quite cheap, but not going there just yet. And then as for the rest of the watch list, I mean, for weeks now, I've been coveting Sané, but not finding a way to get him into my side. And although he didn't score today, I still think having double Man City in midfield is a very good tactic long-term because you know that most weeks, either Sterling or Sané is going to do something. Although even De Bruyne coming back in is a potential option these days. And then the final one that I've been coveting massively recently is Fabianski, who for roughly the same price as Ryan has been absolutely pummeling him week in, week out, which has been really hurting my overall rank. So if I can find 0.2 million, then I'll be trying to get Fabianski in as a sort of set and forget cheapish type goalkeeper. As much as I'd love to get someone like Alisson in goal, I'm not sure I find a million budget for the rest of my team to fund it. So there's my main players that I'm looking around at the moment.
Yeah, it's a solid watch list. I think obviously around Man U, there's a lot to talk about there. I'm glad you mentioned Lingard because he's just come into my watch list now. Two goals today. Took a penalty, which was obviously very unexpected. I don't know whether that's because he's good at them or whether he won the penalty and therefore decided he was going to take it. That is an issue. The one thing I was surprised about is this staying away from the defenders because they're not very expensive for a good team, Man U defenders. I thought Lindelof looked really good today and Ashley Young has a good corner on him. So either of those I thought might be on your list. Any thoughts about Ashley Young particularly?
Ashley Young's really expensive, I think. Isn't he's like a six? Well, he was 6.5 start of the season.
Check it. I bet he isn't now.
5.7 now.
He's 5.7 now.
Yeah, he was. I know he was 6 million at the start of the season, down to 5.7. I mean, Luke Shaw at 4.9 would be the one I'm really tempted by. I mean, Lindelof's even cheaper than that. So you can get a bargain basement defender, I guess. But until I see otherwise, I feel like Man U are the sort of side that just concedes at least one goal every game. And so as tempting it is to have like a good defender from a good team in your team, if they never get a clean sheet, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Especially if players like Doherty at the same price, where Wolves get some clean sheets, but also he's going to get goals, potentially an assist. So you don't always have to rely on that clean sheet that you realistically have to rely on with most of the Man U defenders.
It's kind of reminiscent of last year's Liverpool, isn't it?
I guess my question for you, Matt, is I've read that Solskjaer has talked about using the full squad and liking to rotate. Do you have a sense of like which of those players in your watch list are the most nailed on? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out in terms of which one I bring in. Because I feel like Pogba is probably the most nailed on player, and Martial and Lingard, Rashford after that. But it's hard to tell because Lukaku has was on.
Just personal reasons.
Again? I forget. He's not injured. Yeah, personal reasons. And then I don't know when Sanchez is back. So curious to ask who.
So I do think Pogba is the most nailed on. I think you're right there. But then that comes with being the most expensive too. A flutter with like Lingard at 6.7, I think you can probably accept that he's going to miss like a game over Christmas and you wouldn't be too disappointed. But if you're going to put an extra million quid into Pogba, then you probably get a bit more of guarantee of starts. But a bit like having I think most assets right now are rotation risks. So I don't think your Man United players are unique in that, especially over the Christmas period. I expect Liverpool, Spurs and Man City are going to rotate heavily over the same period.
The one advantage with Man U, I suppose, is they've rotated so much already. I'm not sure whether you call it rotation or just angry dropping, but there's no one who's really played every game this season. So I feel like they should, if any team's players are equipped to play a lot of minutes over the winter season, it's going to be Man U's.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at their stats right now. So Lingard had like a bit of a mid-season injury. So that's it's sort of a rest, but he's recovering from injury. So that can mean he's a bit fresher coming up now. And then Rashford and Martial all season basically have not been finishing games or playing full 90 minutes. So they don't necessarily need a rest, but I can see that Solskjaer might just rotate anyway because that's what recipe success under Ferguson here is all heavy rotation, so he probably thinks that's the way to go at Man U.
We do have a lot of players as well, so we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone loves to see Juan Mata playing, so I have no problem with rotation as a Man U fan.
Yeah, that's true. Mata, of course, at 6.2, if he were to make it into the sort of official first team, he could be a real asset.
Yeah, I feel like Juan Mata would be like picking him because I love him rather than like he's a decent fantasy asset. I feel like, yeah, that would definitely be the heart over the head type pick. He always looks good for like one or two games a season. He's never been a great fantasy asset. Well, never at Man U has he been a great fantasy asset. He's pretty decent back at Chelsea days.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you, Matt. Let's move on. We've done a lot of Man U chat already. So let's move on.
Duncan's paying for not turning up to this week's pod, really, isn't he?
Yeah. He would
just let three Man U fans.
Yeah. Nothing
we're talking about.
All right. So let's move on to next week's fixtures then, shall we? Matt, you have the honour of going first with Fulham against Wolves.
So Wolves, I mean, they lost just 2-0 to Liverpool, but there's not too much disrespect in that. Fulham picked up a draw against Newcastle, which I certainly haven't watched, and I imagine will be last on Match of the Day. But I think Fulham at home against Wolves, it's quite close. I think that evens it up a little bit. Ranieri's had just enough time to start to get his ideas across. They'll be working really hard. A home fixture means they'll put loads of effort into it. But Wolves are the better team with a more settled squad. So probably still a Wolves win. I can't see Fulham keeping two clean sheets in a row. But I think it's going to be a close one. Worth picking players from either side if you've got them, I'd say.
Did you hear Ranieri's quote this week about clean sheets? He said, I want clean sheets like I want pasta.
Go on. He got one today. I think, in England to get a clean sheet this season.
Well, congratulations to the Tinker Man.
I don't think it looks like they're probably trying to focus more defensively. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you were anybody coming into that team, would immediately say, "I need to work on the defense." Right, so it's obviously something that they're going to get better at under Ranieri, who has a history of organizing good defenses.
Yeah. So I can see. I think Christmas fixtures are quite difficult to predict because it depends a bit on rotation and. Players are quite tired anyway, so just a random mistake can let in a goal. But definitely Fulham will be focusing on keeping it quite tight, and it could end up being quite a close game because Wolves aren't the most explosive of sides at the best of times. But still, fingers crossed in a Doherty goal for anyone, those few fantasy managers that don't have him just yet.
All right, thank you. I'm up next with Burnley against Everton. I think, have a lower opinion of Burnley than other people on this podcast. So my prediction here is a heavy Everton win, even though it's at Burnley. I think I have actually held off. I've thought very hard about bringing other players in for Sigurdsson and Richarlison because they haven't returned the same yield as they did earlier in the season. But I've been waiting for this run of fixtures they're about to go into. So it's kind of annoying that right now is the time that Man U came good because they're my mid-price players and they're about to go into good fixtures. So they'll both be playing this week. If you have any Burnley assets, then I'd advise that you remove them urgently because I don't think there's much value in that team this season. And play your Everton assets because I think this is going to be an Everton win.
Don't disagree with that one.
Agree.
All right, let's move on swiftly then to Crystal Palace and Cardiff, Ben.
Yeah, so Palace, I think, shocking everyone. We had them as the whipping boys from last week, but they've managed to beat Man City and shut us up. I think they'll be able to beat Cardiff at home. Cardiff were on a really good run, I think, winning maybe three of the last four before facing Man U with their new manager bounce. But I just think Palace at home, coming off a really good win, will be able to beat Cardiff. My guess is it'll still be pretty tight because they may be a little bit tired from their Man City win and having to defend all that time. But I think they'll be able to beat Cardiff at home.
I would expect that too. Cardiff have thrown up a few surprises prior to the Man U game. They've thrown up a few surprises this season with Etheridge man of the match and Patterson just like knocking one in of his ankle. You don't see that happening in this game?
Yeah, I think they'll be up for it. And I think there's a chance Palace may be complacent. I just think if the fixtures were reversed and Cardiff were at home, I think they could cause an upset. But I don't know. Selhurst Park on Boxing Day, I feel like Palace will get it done.
Yeah, with crowd behind them, buoyed by a recent victory. I think I agree with you. All right. Next fixture is Leicester against Man City. Matt.
So I feel hesitant to predict a predictable Man City victory after what's just happened today, but I can't help but think that they'll be angry. They have much greater squad depth than Leicester. that they're going to come back strong and win this one comfortably. So I will still be picking sort of my Sterling. Others have Sane. De Bruyne came good with a goal today. I think he's another good Man City pick. But I won't be picking any of their defenders at the moment because they just seem to have a habit of conceding goals now, which is worrying if you're a Man City fan or a Laporte owner.
I think this is the fixture De Bruyne and Aguero come straight back into the first team because they need a win.
Yeah, you'd expect that, wouldn't you? Especially since, of course, we haven't mentioned this yet, Leicester with a great result against Chelsea.
Yeah, it came out of the blue, didn't it, really?
I kind of have a hunch that this is going to be a really difficult one for Man City because it was Vardy that scored against Chelsea, who play a high line, a lot of possession football, potentially vulnerable on the counter-attack. City look vulnerable on the counter-attack too right now. I can just see Jamie Vardy unsettling the defenders, getting in behind and scoring in exactly the same way. I wouldn't expect Leicester to keep a clean sheet, so I don't think they're going to do another 1-0, but I think Leicester might score in this one. What do you guys think?
It's a good shout to say it could be really difficult for them. This is a real test for Man City. And so I think Ben's comment's good as well. Like they'll probably bring in their strongest players because they really need to turn their form around after that shock loss. So to expect De Bruyne and Aguero to play and probably their strongest lineup because they need to pick up the 3 points there. Otherwise, their upcoming match against Liverpool, the devil would drop the points. They couldn't sort of catch them up again.
Sterling and Sané both looked pretty laboured this week. Riyad Mahrez, of course, a very, very high-quality alternative that they have. Do you think there's any value in him right now?
I think if Sané is definitely more nailed on than Sterling because they need him on the left for the width. And the game today, Sterling was the guy dropped, replaced by Mahrez. So I'm... As a Sterling owner and not a Sané owner, I'm actually pretty concerned for this fixture because you would think that Mahrez is more likely to replace Sterling than Sané. So I'm a little bit worried, but the only thing that I'm hopeful of is like they lost today. They probably want to put their strongest team out against Leicester, which is a hard fixture. And I still think Raheem Sterling is in their strongest lineup, so that's what I'm hoping.
Okay. Okay. Well, the next fixture is Liverpool Newcastle. It's one for me. Hard to look past the Liverpool win here, even though there's a lot of things going in Newcastle's favour. They've got Benitez returning. And I'm sure he'd love to mastermind a win over his old club. They've got Rondon, who's recently hit form. They've got they've just kept another clean sheet, which is great for me because I have Dubravka. But I won't be playing Dubravka against Liverpool. So I don't think Newcastle will be whipping boys. I think this is going to be another 2-0 win, say, for Liverpool, something like that. But I think it's a pretty difficult to predict anything other than a Liverpool win in this game. So if you've got Salah, play him, potentially captain him, because if anyone's going to score, it's likely to be him right now. If you've got the likes of Van Dijk, Robertson, Alexander-Arnold, although he's injured right now, he's 75% chance of playing. And with their injury issues at the back, I'd say if he can come back, he will do. Get those Liverpool players back into your team, I'd say, right now. I saw that Mane was he's looking through the teams in my leagues. He's in a surprisingly large number of teams, given how poor his recent output's been. So if you've got him, play him. Another thing I'd look at right now, he wasn't on your watch list, Matt, but he is on mine, is Shaqiri. Because he seems to be playing quite a lot of minutes for Liverpool at the moment. And when he does play, he makes good use of his minutes. His value is, let's check if it's gone up or down recently. His value is 7.1, so it has gone up actually since I last looked at it. But yeah, I think he's possibly somebody to look out for with the rotation happening over the winter period. He's going to play a few more minutes than normal. That's my review. Anything to add?
No, yes. Shakiri's on the he's on my watches as well. I just didn't not top of it right now, but it's a very good shout. He's getting minutes and he's starting to get some points too.
Yeah, he makes very economical use of his minutes, doesn't he, Shakiri?
What about someone like Van Dijk? Is he worth getting in?
The thing with Van Dijk is he looks really attractive right now because he just got 15 points. But he's not a regular, despite his height and his sort of aggression in defending corners, he doesn't seem to do it at the other end of the pitch. So he's not a defender who gets goals. And if he gets a clean sheet, then so does Robertson, so does Alexander-Arnold. You know, there are other players that also get the clean sheet with him who are, I think, better bets. He's right now he's on 97 points and Robertson's only on 103, but I think that's slightly disproportionate because Robertson missed a few games and Van Dijk just got 15 points in one game. Looking forward, I think it's far more likely that Robertson is, or Alexander-Arnold are going to get assists than it is that Van Dijk's going to get goals. So if you're looking to buy into the Liverpool defence, I think I'd be more looking to those two still.
You get the guaranteed starts, I think, with Van Dijk's anything. And the others do get rotated a bit more.
Yeah, that's true. But if they, it's quite unlikely that a defender is going to get subbed on for the last 10 minutes. So as long as you've got a strong enough bench that somebody will come in and do something for you, or is or could do something for you. The only worry is when players get like 10 minutes at the end of the game and do nothing, and then you get 1 point, or they get subbed off on 57 minutes or something, neither of which are likely to happen to the fullbacks.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, I'm not trading Robertson anytime soon. He's been a very good pick sitting in my team. And 6.3 is quite a lot to invest in a defender right now with so many good midfield assets. So I don't know if he's a priority for everyone, but he's definitely going to accumulate points, I think, Van Dijk, across this season.
Yeah, he is. And obviously my colleague Sam has him, so that makes me annoyed. All right, next up we have Man United Huddersfield. Ben, have some fun.
Oh, this looks like such a tasty fixture to me. So, Huddersfield, terrible right now. Just lost at home to Southampton 3-1, which is... I don't know what happened there. Huddersfield normally put up a lot more of a fight at home, but seem to have got blown away by Southampton. As we've covered on the pod, Man U now resurgent, scoring 5 goals, I think, for the first time in I don't even know how long, against Cardiff away. And now a home game at Old Trafford, Solskjaer's first home game at Old Trafford. Like, I think this has like 4-0 written all over it. So, like, Matt's watch list, basically all those players, I think, are really good prospects. So Pogba, starting with Pogba, most expensive, 7.8. Martial, 7.3. Lingard, 6.7. Yeah, I think Manu will blow Huddersfield away in this game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think Matt would disagree. Matt, would you care to disagree?
It's what I like to hear.
But I don't know if it's because we're speaking as United fans, but I really do think, even objectively, you would look at this fixture and be like, well, Man U could really thrash them.
Yeah, the only reason why you would have said otherwise is just because of Mourinho, right? Any other season, any other like world, you'd expect Man United to be looking forward to a home game against Huddersfield. So it's good to be back in that groove, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah. I guess the only other thing is we don't know yet if Solskjaer will want to rotate a lot, but I don't think he will for first home game against Huddersfield. I think
he'd be mad to rotate heavily after a 5-1 win, wouldn't he? Especially when he brought off Martial and Rashford towards the end to give them a bit of a rest. Especially when Lukaku isn't expected back until December 30th. So he will only have Rashford or Martial as options up front. I think I think it's going to be, you might see the one who might be vulnerable, or might have been vulnerable rather, would have been Lingard, but he scored twice. So what are you going to do with that? Herrera, yeah. Again, he might have been like rotated because there are a lot of options in midfield, but he scored two. what are you going to do? It's quite difficult to pick somebody out saying you should be rotated.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing to talk about against it, I guess, is that we're basing this purely on one game of football that Man U have just thrashed Cardiff at. So from a data point of view, it's not like a long-term trend. I know that like Solskjaer's first game in charge and all looks very positive, but I don't think we're about to push on for Champions League places as a Man U fan. I think our squad is still a bit flawed compared to the others. And so long-term, we are going to have some losses this season. Huddersfield were very plucky against Arsenal just a few weeks back as well. Sort of spoiled the party when I captained Aubameyang. So it's not impossible that we get disappointed.
Well, we'll see. So obviously that's Matt's gut punt is Huddersfield. Noted.
Yeah,
Pritchard. He'll go back.
With a penalty against the one to play. All right, so Spurs-Bournemouth. Matt, what's going to happen there?
Bournemouth will win. No,
Bournemouth will win.
No, I reckon...
Noted. Next one.
So Bournemouth got a good win today against Brighton. Spurs are playing tomorrow. So I think Spurs will win because they're a very good team. They're better than Bournemouth. They've looked a little tired recently and can't defend that well. But Spurs, I think there's definitely high risk of rotation. I've got Son in my team at the moment, and I'm waiting for that big game from him. He only came on for a few minutes for me last week. So I think each Spurs asset will probably get a good haul at some point over the Christmas period, but might be completely rested for other times. So they're difficult picks to have at the moment, Spurs. But I still think they're a pretty strong team that's on form, especially after their derby win midweek. And so I expect them to continue that against Bournemouth.
I'm really sceptical of Spurs right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that there's a few things I think that are going to be eating away at them. The first one is that they started the season looking really leggy, and I don't think they've really solved that problem. Like they've been grinding out results, but come the end after the winter period where they played so many games, I can't see them coming out from that being like on tip top form. Harry Kane obviously has come in for a lot of stick for that over the early part of the season. He's now scoring goals again because he's Harry Kane. But I don't know that they've given debuts to some unheard of players. Last week they had a really odd team out. I think that Pochettino obviously is going to be receiving regular phone calls from Ed Woodward, so he could take his eye off the ball. I don't know. I think they're pretty high risk right now, Spurs, and it could be that, maybe not against Bournemouth, but because I think they're quite an easy team to play as one. Like they don't do well against the top teams, so I think Spurs will beat Bournemouth. But I think over the course of the winter period, you could see some upsets there, even though everyone was excited by their fixture list. I don't know. I had Eriksen. I've got rid of him, which was kind of brutal after he just scored the winner in that game, the last game before I got rid of him. But I've chosen him as someone to remove because I am worried about them.
Interesting punt for the week.
Yeah, they did have a good win against Arsenal in the League Cup. I think both teams played almost close to their first team. And Spurs beat them away pretty comfortably. I think the risk here is Spurs plays their best team against Everton because Everton is a harder fixture, and then maybe like rest a ton of players against at home to Bournemouth, which is I think the rotation risk Matt talked about.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, it's not gut punt territory because I don't think Bournemouth, like I said, I don't think Bournemouth has what it takes to beat the better teams. I think they're kind of flat track bullies, so that isn't the fixture I'd pick out as the one that they would lose, but I can see difficulties for them over the winter period, I think.
I mean, the one reflection I'd have that I think I partly agree with you, Andy, is that I don't think they're going to thrash many teams over the winter period. they're just, as you say, maybe just a touch leggy, quite a lot of rotation. So if they do take a lead, then they might just try and sit on it and rest their players rather than go for the juggler and get three or four goals. So may not be brilliant fantasy assets because the goals are going to be sort of hard, maybe hard to come by.
The one who's looking really on form to me is Dele Alli. So if I was going to pick out a Spurs asset, I think he'd be he'd be the man.
That was a sweet goal midweek.
Yeah, it was. And he's missed a lot of the early games this season, so might not be as tired as other players. So you'd expect him to get minutes over the winter. So maybe him, but I stand by this. I think Spurs will drop points over the winter period. So should we move on to the next fixture, which is Brighton against Arsenal? This, I think, is exactly the kind of game that Unai Emery's Arsenal are going to really enjoy, because that what they're really, really good at is attacking with pace. And Brighton at home, I mean, they're always a very defensive side, but they're going to be more defensive away than they would be at home. They're not on great form. They're one of these teams that sort of scrapes together like results from teams near them and in mid-table to just about get enough points to survive, rather than pulls out really big surprises. Apart from against Man U, of course, who we always seem to lose against Brighton. But so I think Arsenal will win this. I think they'll win it handsomely. I will be playing. I'm considering Aubameyang as my captain next week, although I have transferred in Mo Salah. So I think that will probably trump him. But I think if you haven't got Salah and you have got Aubameyang, he'd be a decent pick for captain. Brighton defenders, steer clear. Arsenal's defence is pretty shonky, so if you've got if there are people out there with Glenn Murray still lingering around because he's cheap, then might be a week to pick him. But really, I think this is Arsenal all over.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Dunk got sent off today, so he'll be suspended. He's normally one of their best at centre-back, so, yeah.
I wouldn't fancy being Chris Hughton right now. Anything to add, Matt, or should we move on?
No, I think that covers that.
Okay. So, on to Watford v Chelsea, Ben.
I think that this is going to be a draw. So, Watford back to winning ways. I think I haven't seen the game, but beating an informed West Ham team away 2-0, I think it's really impressive. So I saw De La Feo doing well again. Troy Deeney scored from the penalty spot. I think Pereira got two assists. Chelsea looked like they're probably the weakest out of the top four. I would put Chelsea below Spurs. I think from the highlights with the Leicester game, they were a little bit unlucky hitting the post a couple of times. But this is also kind of like a London derby type game as well. So it's going to be really difficult for Chelsea. So I think this could be a draw. I'm hoping it's like a 2-2 or something like that.
Are you thinking of keeping Hazard at the moment?
I am, just because their fixture run is really good. They have Watford, Palace, Southampton, Newcastle.
I think that's looking like a much harder fixture list than it was a week ago. So even Southampton under was it Hasenhüttl? He looks like he's really turned things around there. Palace just beat City. I don't think that's an easy fixture list at all anymore.
Yeah, but I think I'll keep Hazard for this game. I've been really frustrated with Alonso. He hit the post like five times this season. But Chelsea look like they can't keep clean sheets either. So I think, yeah, this will be a tough one for them.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think I would be bringing Watford assets in. Ben, what do you think about Alonso? I have been worried about him for a while now, and I've been sort of looking for an opportunity to get rid of him and save some money. Because I think he's still the most expensive defender in the game, isn't he? He hasn't really been doing it for me. What do you think?
Yeah, Alonso is. I mean, he's basically tied with Robertson as still the joint defending joint top scorer for defenders. I want to get rid of him, but I feel like it's now's not the right time because that fixture run, I mean, it isn't the worst fixture run in the world, right? So I'll probably try and hold on to him for the next couple of games. But every time I want to get rid of him, I see him hit the post in a like a match of the day highlight. I'm like, oh, as soon as I get rid of him, he's going to score. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it depends what you want to do with the rest of your team. If you can downgrade him to someone cheap and really upgrade another area, then I think that does make sense. I just know he's going to troll me as soon as I remove him.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's interesting. There seems to have been a lot of sort of changes of fortune in December, which makes me want to... I wish I had a wild card right now.
You only have...
Yeah, that's what, true.
2 weeks to wait.
Yeah, that's true.
So until the next wild card.
It's very tempting to sort of take point hits, isn't it? When you've only got 2 weeks to wait for a wild card, it's... If you do feel confident playing your wild card at the beginning of January with transfers to come in, of course. But that's obviously one for another pod. So, yeah, I think we all agree that this is going to be a fairly evenly matched game and one to look at for Chelsea to drop points. So the last one then, back to Matt, Southampton, West Ham.
So as you're perfectly pronounced, Hugo Hardenhuden, the new manager for Southampton, is doing a very good job, it looks like. So they seem to be hassling well. I think that is he sort of like a Klopp type manager, I've heard. I've not really watched their games.
I guess Klopp's Gegenpress could be the Hooten Hassle Hassle.
Yeah, the Hooten Hassle Hassle. So, yeah, whereas previously I thought, oh, good, I've got Anderson. It's against Southampton. He should be able to do some jinky thing and get me some points. It now looks like quite a close game, I'd say. And maybe even Southampton edge it. Definitely the potential for goals in this one. Danny Ings is a nice cheap striker. Scored the day, scored two the week before, so he's in a good run of form. And West Ham assets, I think, are still fairly strong. I mean, they've still got a good chance of scoring goals. I know they had a disappointing loss today, but I still think they're one of the better teams outside the big six, particularly going forward. And so players like Anderson and Snodgrass have the potential. It's just whether do I transfer in Fabianski after his disappointment today? It's a big question mark for me.
Yeah, I was really surprised when last week, or was it the week before? Must have been the week before, you were picking out Fabianski. Because I think that's... He hasn't got a very good defence in front of him. I think that's a similar logic to what you were saying about not picking Man U defenders. Is they're a good team, so you want to pick players from good teams. But I'm not sure defending is their forte, and therefore I wouldn't look at their goalkeeper necessarily.
He's averaging 4 points a game for the season. So I think he gets quite a lot of save points. He seems to be very good at saving penalties randomly. He seems to be acquiring points even without the clean sheets. I think that's why he's quite attractive. And he's dirt cheap.
Yeah, that's a fair point. If bad defences obviously create shots to stop. So if he's stopping a lot of them, then he can get points, can't he?
It's like the Burnley keeper of old. Well, even Joe Hart's not the worst pick in the world. But I think Fabianski seems like quite an attractive one. But
maybe
less
that's
attractive
what happened
after today.
Maybe that's what happened to Burnley, is they were doing so well with their goalkeepers and they got Joe Hart in and it's all gone to pot.
Maybe. It's a nice thought.
So another evenly matched game. After a fantastic week of football this week, it looks like we could be in for some fun next week too, huh? Good. All right, so let's quickly run through Whipping Boys, shall we? Ben, what do you think?
I'm Matt. Going Huddersfield.
I think I've got to agree with that one.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I think we obviously would pick those teams out, but we'll pick Huddersfield out. But I think there are quite a few potential Whipping Boys. Like Brighton, I think, could concede a few against Arsenal. Burnley could concede a few against Everton. Man City could come out all guns blazing and tonk Leicester 8-3. So there are quite a few games that could potentially, or even Liverpool could tear Newcastle apart. So I think there are a few potential high scoring games there, although obviously we're all going to pick Man U for this one.
Yeah, Duncan's not here. It's Man U.
All right, excellent. A clean sheet, Matt.
Man U.
No pre-tried goals? No? Okay, then. Ben.
I think Liverpool nailed on clean sheet against Newcastle.
I think it's pretty hard to disagree with that. So you've taken the easy ones. I'm going to say Everton against Burnley.
Maybe Spurs at home to Bournemouth. Not so 100% about that one, but yeah.
Maybe Wolves at Fulham.
Yep. And maybe Arsenal.
Yeah. Brighton. That's more about Brighton's attack than Arsenal's defence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I think really it's 2.5 there, though, isn't it? I think I think Liverpool and Man U look like by far the safest clean sheets. Okay, and let's move on then to captains and transfers. Why don't we go in reverse? Gut punts.
How about gut punts
now? Go on then. Let's do that. Ben, you seem very keen to do gut punts. Why don't you kick us off?
My gut punt is Nathan Redmond at 5.2. So he got an assist at Arsenal and he got a goal and assist. And I think he's going to get 3 bonus against Huddersfield. I think he's playing further forward under the new manager, whose name I won't try and pronounce. So, I think he looks like a decent pick. So I'm going to go.
Not a bad shout. I think Redmond and Ings obviously are the two most likely scorers for Southampton. So yeah, I think that's solid. Matthew?
I'm going to go for Mli Jovojevic. That's how you say it. That's his name. The Crystal Palace guy.
The Crystal Palace captain and penalty taker extraordinaire.
And long shot. Yeah, free kick and long shot kick.
And too. Free kick taker, yep.
So he's just a really good player. I think he might be there. But with him and Zaha are like their best players. He got quite a few points last season from his midfield position. And he seems to be on a good patch of form, as are Palace. So, and they've got quite a tasty looking fixture. So he'd be my pick at the moment. 6 million, not bad value.
He was a legend last season.
Yeah, he was like the perfect enabler for so many teams.
Yeah, last season's Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, I remember.
Fantasy legend. Maybe slightly priced out of it, 6 million. It'll be a while before people jump on that bandwagon, but he looks like a good player. Yeah, he's accumulating points again.
Yeah, and a decent gut punt, I think. He also, I think, last season, if memory serves, he tended to sort of score in consecutive games and then go quiet. So having just scored might be the start of something for him. My gut punt is going to be Jamie Vardy. I mentioned that earlier. I think City look very vulnerable at the back at the moment, and I think they're going to want to try and score lots of goals against Leicester to psychologically overcome the defeat from this week, so could leave themselves open at the back. So I'm going Jamie Vardy. Which, nice. Funny, Jamie Vardy, previously you would have been like, that's not punty, but this season with Leicester doing badly and against Man City, I think it counts, right? I'm allowed that?
Yeah, I don't think...
He has a low ownership.
Yeah, true. Good. Okay, now let's do captains and transfers, shall we? We're going to do reverse order, so Ben, why don't you kick us off with your captains and transfers for this week?
The sensible thing I should do is not make any transfers, because my team is actually pretty well set up for next week. Because I'm going to roll out all my Wolves players. I have 3 Wolves players against Fulham. So Patricio, Doherty and Jimenez. What I really want to do is get in a Man U midfielder. Okay. So I could do Felipe Anderson to Martial for no hit, which is tempting. But I kind of want to get Pogba because I think he is the most nailed on. He got 3 assists today. And he looks like he's getting forward a lot. So I may do Felipe Anderson to Pogba, but that would require me to take a hit. And it would probably mean downgrading Matt Ryan to like some cheapy goalkeeper that doesn't play. So I'm tempted by that. The other thing I could do is get rid of Wilson to a cheap forward like Kamara and upgrade Camarasa to Lingard and play 5 in midfield. But the only thing with Lingard is I think he's the most rotation risk compared to Pogba and Martial, but I'm not sure. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I think as a United fan, it would be really nice to actually get a player in the team I support. But obviously that's not a good FPL reason, but because it's Christmas, I kind of just feel like doing it. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Captain will probably be Kane at home to Bournemouth. Unless there's some suspicion that he gets rested for that game after a tough Everton game. In which case, I would probably want to captain the Man U player I bring in. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a trend. I'm thinking the same thing. I've already made one transfer this week because I decided I couldn't go for another week without having Mo Salah. So I did Sterling for Salah, which means I don't have Raheem Sterling, which is kind of I got him in a couple of weeks before everybody else did. And he did really well for me. So I now sort of have this loyalty to him that I'm sure he feels is reciprocal. But but I've axed him and I've brought in Mo Salah. So that's my first transfer this week. So I had the money in the bank. This week, now I've got to decide to have it with Man U having done so well. Exactly the same thing as Ben. Do I take a hit and bring in a Man U player, or do I stick and not take a hit? I personally think it's worth 4 points to bring in a Man U player. So what I'm going to do is Mitrovic out, who's been rubbish and is a problem player for me, and bring in Marcus Rashford because he's going to start up front, I'd imagine, in Lukaku's absence next week. Then, depending on what happens with Lukaku, he may stay in the team. Or if he scores a lot of goals, he may stay on the team. If he doesn't, then it's wild card time pretty soon. So I can use that to make some serious changes and bring in the entire Man U midfield. So that's what I'm thinking at the moment. That does mean that I'm going to be stuck with Alonso, who I don't want. What I've been wanting to do for a long time now is Alonso out for Digne. But I just keep having other problems with injuries or players being dropped and things. So I keep not having the transfer available to get rid of Alonso. So he may end up staying in my team annoyingly and therefore hogging up all of that money, which when I get it, I want to spend on upgrading Sigurdsson, I think, to a higher value midfielder. So yeah, that's where I am right now. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do the Rashford transfer, but I want to I want to see what happens tomorrow, to be honest, in the Southampton West Ham. No, that's wrong. That's not what's happening tomorrow. In the Everton Spurs game. Because if Everton do really well in that game, I'm considering going in advance for Digne because I feel like that could be worth more than the Rashford one, or even taking an 8-point hit. I don't know. That seems like madness in December, but Digne for Alonso right now is such a juicy transfer. It's really hard to overlook it. So yeah, I'm going to wait and see. And if tomorrow's result confuses me, then I'll think harder. But otherwise, then I'm going to do Mitrovic and Rashford. Salah is my current captain. Aubameyang would have been had I not transferred in Salah. But when you transfer in Salah, you can't then not captain him when he's playing against Newcastle. So that's what I'm doing. Over to you, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, very similar thinking as well. I mean, I've spent a few weeks trying to assemble my midfield and I immediately want to junk it and get a Man U player in. I'll be watching tomorrow's game with keen interest because I've got Son and Richarlison both in it. And Son's probably the closest on the firing chopping block at the moment. I'm trying to think of my analogies here, but yeah, like, he's both expensive. He's going to go to the Asian Games fairly soon, and so I'd quite like if he sort of pulled his hamstring before the game and gave me like the perfect excuse to transfer him out. I've got two transfers to make, which I was intending to save for like to potentially sub out Salah come game week 20 and sort of go sort of Man City heavy or maybe even Hazard heavy in game week 20 onwards. But he keeps scoring, which means that I feel less and less likely I'm going to make that trade come game week 20. And so maybe I can spend that transfers on there. I'm looking at Ryan as well, who's been annoying me for several weeks now, and I keep wanting to get out, but can't quite afford to do it without doing a hit. So I suppose I could like free up some cash from midfield with picking Lingard or someone like that, and get Fabianski or even a more expensive goalkeeper in. And finally, I don't know, Wilson's another one which I'm looking at and thinking, oh, for 0.1 more million, I could have Marcus Rashford. That sounds a lot more fun as a Man U fan. And also, it's got a lot more points potential. But I just need 0.1 million from somewhere to finance that transfer.
Yeah, you can see what's occupying all of our brains here, can't you? You know what's going to happen now, of course, is that the new manager bounce is going to end and Huddersfield are going to put a big needle in that balloon.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to do a palace, aren't they?
Yep. I can just see it now. But it's at least fun again.
Yep. Both for fantasy and for Man U fans at the moment. It's a good time for me, watching the football over Christmas period. I can see your temptation to an 8-point hit. It's just like, it's fantasy nirvana right now.
Yeah, it is. And I'm kind of wishing I'd saved up my wild card or something. Anyway, there's one coming soon. So I think that's a really important thing to remember at this time of year, isn't it? Is that when a lot of unexpected things happen over the winter period where you've got a lot of rotation, you've got fixtures often switching from being hard to easy, you've got players coming into form and managers, like chairman pulling the trigger and changing manager and therefore teams changing their form. But if you spend loads and loads of points now with a wild card coming up, you're sort of spending that. You're not getting a long term value out of that because you would have done it any. You would have made those changes anyway 2 weeks later. So it's a sort of a time where I think patience is a virtue for fantasy managers.
Are you going to go with your early wild card? I mean, I often save mine for like the double game weeks later on in the season.
Yeah, I've often used it at the end of the January window when big transfers have happened, because it would be very annoying to use your wild card and then get sort of caught with like there's one transfer that like I don't know someone like Zaha goes to like what if Zaha goes to a top team and plays every game then he's going to be incredible value, right? Or you know, something like that can happen where a player takes a step up from being the best player in a poorer team to being a first team player in a big team and suddenly being really, really good value. So that can happen. But I'm considering it this time around because of Man U. So many of their players are undervalued right now that I can, and being behind everybody else, it could be a differentiator for me.
So a bit like Sanchez moving to Man U last January, you need the wild card to get him in.
Yeah, that. that really popular transfer. I'm thinking more like when Luis Suarez showed up at Liverpool. Yeah. That's the kind of thing I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to forget about Sanchez, to be honest, being at our club.
Didn't you have him in your team at the start of the season?
I did. It was like a 1 week punt. And he got an assist first game week, I have you know.
Well, that's good. He's lost an entire million in transfer value over the course of the season. He's gone from 11 to 10.
Yeah, I think I should drop a bit more before I think about transferring him back in.
Matt, was he the last man you've had in your FPL
him
team?
Him or Luke Shaw, yeah.
Yeah, I had Luke Shaw at the start of the season as well.
Oh, nice. I've only had one Man U player in this season. Game week one. Do you want to guess Lukaku?
Matteo Darmian.
I remember that now.
Yes, it was Darmian. What was I thinking? Who knows?
Interesting stat that I've accidentally just discovered. There are only two players with negative points in the entire game. Without looking, who are they?
Ooh. I have no idea. Someone who got sent off or missed the penalty.
Yeah, not a clue, I'm afraid.
So one of them is Phil Jagielka, in -2. He's the lowest point scorer in the game. And the other one is Marcos Rojo, who's done nothing except get a yellow card the entire season.
Classic, Rojo.
All right, good. Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Before we go, I'm going to say a shout out to Emma FPL, who gave us a fine review this week. Thank you very much for your comment, Emma. Says that it was a good discussion by real enthusiasts. We love that comment. Thank you so much. And with that, let's bid everyone adieu. So Ben?
Goodbye. Follow us on Twitter if you haven't yet. FPLFF.
From Matt?
Goodbye from a happy Matt. Happy Man U fan.
And goodbye from me. You are my Solskjaer, my only Solskjaer.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.